Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. It's indeed, this is home. I was thinking about the first time I actually visited here. It's about 12 years ago. Next month, February, it will be 12 years ago when I visited here the first time. And it is indeed, it has been a great joy for Bernadette and I and our kids to have this TBC family as our family. We have been honored, we have been blessed. In fact, when I am here, even kids come and say, one boy came. I don't know if the boy was in the first service or if he was coming in the second service. I don't know if the boy is in the service today, but at the door he said, "I like when you preach." You know? That's when you know you are at home, when the boys know who you are. And so this morning as I sat down and I saw the beautiful daughters, the grandkids of the Geekersons, Martha and Elizabeth, they came and say, "Oh, how are you, Uncle Celestine?" And so, I mean, you know you are home when the kids come to hug you. And so it's a great, great joy. But also, you know, you are home when the older people come and say, "Man, you are growing fat. What's going on?" You know. So it's a great joy. This morning, Bernadette is here with me. Will you stand up, please? Thank you. And two of our kids are here. I don't know if they are coming this service or next service. Providence and Emmanuel, are you around? I know. Wendy Wolf is giving them a lot of food, so they will be here in the next service. Bernadette and I, with the kids, we have been going back and forth to Africa since many years, but we came to Dallas for studies. I remember really when I met Gary the first time was 1995, 1996 January, and they were in Igoma, in Nairobi, helping me to train those pastors I mentioned in the video. Since then, this church has become like a family to me. And many of you send personal notes to me. Many of you call. I always remember any time I come here, I think Gloria is gone. I would come and she would come and she would hug me. I always stay with some marks of the makeup and my wife would try to wipe me and say, "No, this is a gift from Gloria. Please leave me alone," you know. I mean, that's how close we have come. I remember the first time I ate food, Pam had given me food. I was new in America, and she gave me, what was the name of the food? Sheep in the blanket? Eh? Pig in the blanket, you know. And so I remember I came here, I said it was dog in the blanket, you know. And so I remember many, many days of this past year of joy and fellowship. And so it has been a great joy for me to belong to this family. End of this year, we are moving back to Nairobi. I was here for school. I was slow because of the work, because of traveling back and forth. But May last year, by God's grace, I was able to finish my studies at Dallas Seminary. I finished my doctorate studies, and so I graduated in May, and now end of this year we are moving back to Nairobi. We lived in Nairobi for 8 years before we came to the States, and so we are moving back to Nairobi end of this year. So if you would continue to pray for us. Of course, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be traveling back and forth. We still have an office in Dallas with four full-time staff. I will still have an office in Dallas, but instead of going back and forth to Africa, once in a while we come back here. So this is an update. I want to welcome you as many of you will now come to visit us, and as we continue to work together, we want to see more of you come, and so we will have a room for you in Nairobi, and I promise you Nairobi will be safe. These last few days, there have been some upheavals, but things will be okay in Nairobi. And even if things are not okay, God is calling us to go wherever he sends us. He does not promise us roses or things to be okay, but he promised us his presence, even in the midst of turmoil. This morning, I want to share with you about one man who has encouraged me from the Bible, Barnabas. In fact, I struggle to talk about Barnabas here because many of you, since I know this church, you have been one of the wonderful churches that has partnered with us in a significant way. You have sent teams. Since I came here, I have seen many people go to Africa, Asia, Ukraine, Russia, Nigeria. I have seen many of you offer yourself to go out to serve. But when I read about statistics on missions, who those people give towards missions, those people get involved in missions, we are told that about 10% only in the congregations are the ones either giving or going. And so we don't know what happens with 90%. But this morning I want to talk to each one of us because sometimes we feel I can only be a missionary if I am sent out there. We don't realize that even here, wherever we are called to be bridges, bridges that will link needs and resources, bridges that will take the gospel of Christ to the people without the gospel. And those people who are lost are even in the temple. So each one of us today, each one of us this morning can become a bridge missionary. Barnabas in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we read the story of Barnabas. Many of you have known about Barnabas, but I want to remind you, Barnabas as a model of a bridge missionary. A bridge missionary. I'm not talking about a missionary who is coming, who will be a bridge, then he will walk on him, no. Some of you are too heavy like myself. If you walk on a missionary's back, you will break down. I'm talking about somebody who is in between, who will look at what is going on and match the needs and the resources. Somebody who will see the spiritual needs of the people, the community where he lives, and the resources in another community and say, we can match these spiritual needs and these spiritual resources. Somebody who will look at the needs of the people, physical needs. Like in Kenya, for example, a few weeks ago, we got a check from TBC. When I sent an email to the missions committee, they sent a check to buy food, blankets, and soaps, and cooking pots for the people who are displaced in Nairobi. Because after the elections, in fact, I left Nairobi on the 22nd of December, just 4 days before the elections. After the elections on 27th, when the announcement of the victory was made, many people rebelled because they thought the elections, the votes were rigged. It was not a hanging chad like it was in the U.S. It was rigging the votes. And so people rebelled and became, what was a political exercise, became violent. It became tribal. Today, as I speak, more than 600 people have been killed in Kenya. And more than 700,000 people have been displaced. We have people now living in camps of displaced in Kenya. The people, some of those people are our brothers and sisters. And so this church was able to get my email. I became a bridge of the physical needs of those people when I sent an email, and your church was able to supply the resources to the needs. In that sense, I became a bridge missionary. You can become a bridge missionary. If you have your Bible open in Acts, we will read Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 30, and we read a few chapters in the book of Acts when we talk about Barnabas. Two major things that I want to talk about. Barnabas was somebody just like you and I. He was a regular member of a community. He was a new believer. The second thing is that Barnabas had no clue what he was going to become when he joined the body of believers. But when we read the Bible, we find four major things, four characteristics that really characterize a bridge missionary. Four characteristics. The first is what we read in chapter 4, verse 24. I want you to keep a finger in chapter 11 as we go to read chapter 4, verse 36. The first characteristic of a bridge missionary is that a bridge missionary looks beyond his own needs. In chapter 4, we read about the early church. Believers had become a new community. It was in the early days of the church, the New Testament church. And so as believers, as Jews became Christians, or believers rather, because they became only, they were called Christians in chapter 11. But when many people were giving their life to Christ through the teaching of the disciples, people were chased out of their communities. People were threatened. People were asked to leave their families. Just like today in many communities in Africa, when you become a believer, you are chased out of your village, of your community. You became an outcast. And so those who became believers, they congregated, and some of them had lost their properties because they belonged no longer to their families. And so what happened in chapter 4, we read that many believers shared their possessions. They helped each other. Nobody say, this is mine, like the diseases of today. This is mine. And we read about Barnabas for the first time in chapter 4 among those people. And we are told in verse 36 of chapter 4 that Joseph, Barnabas was not Barnabas from the beginning. His name was Joseph. His name was Joseph. So we read that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called who? Barnabas. Which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The first thing we see about Barnabas, we don't only see the change of his name, we don't only see the character, we don't only see how even in the early life of his believing in Christ, he became the son of an encouragement, but we read that he sold the field he had. He had a field, he had a farm. He sold it and brought the money to the feet of disciples. We find that Barnabas realized that today I have to move my eyes from focusing on the earthly things and put my eyes on my heavenly obligation. A bridge missionary focuses on the needs of others. He takes off his eyes from the earthly matters because of his heavenly obligation. Each one of us believers, brothers and sisters, when we become Christians, we belong to a different community. We belong to the community of believers. We have become heavenly citizens. We are here just passing by. We are no longer at home. Our home is in heaven. And therefore, our focus, our priorities is heavenly obligations, is not earthly things. Today, many of us Christians, we fail to become bridge missionaries because we keep focusing on our own stuff. If I can have this, if I can have this, if I only can have this. And so we focus on ourselves, we focus on our things, we forget that all what we are amassing, we are going to leave them behind tomorrow. And Barnabas says, no, I'm going to sell my field, give it to the disciples, so that those brothers and my sisters and my new community may not be in need. So a bridge missionary looks beyond his own needs. We live in a world where we are told, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody's going to take care of you. Even we Christians who have fallen victims of me, me, mine, mine. We cannot become bridge missionaries until we realize that we need to take the care of the needs of the people. There are many needs in this world, even in a temple, even among this congregation, there are many people in great needs. At the same time, there are people with more resources, more opportunities. Please, let us look at the needs of our brothers and sisters so that we become bridges of God's blessings. And so when we turn to chapter 11, we see the second characteristic of a bridge missionary in the life of this man, Barnabas. We read in chapter 11, Barnabas had been in this community. And so time came after the persecution, after many Christians were killed. In fact, after Stephen was murdered by stoning many Christians were scattered all over. And when Christians were scattered, wherever they went, as we read in verse 19 of chapter 11, when they went to different places. The Bible says they traveled after the persecution in connection with Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Now, these were tribalists. You think Hutus and Tutsis are only tribalists? No, these early Christians were tribalists. They went to these cities, and when they arrived there, they only told the gospel to who? To the Jews. Of course, it was not intentional. They did not understand better. But what happened, some of them, by God's grace, they realized the gospel is not only for the Jews. The gospel is also for the Greeks, for the black, for the yellow, for the Hutu and the Tutsi, for the white and the black and the red. Then they began telling other people, even the Gentiles, the gospel. Now the story came out that the church in Antioch, even the Gentiles have received the gospel and the church is growing. And so verse 21 says, the Lord's hands was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this many people coming to Christ went back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the church began, where the apostles were, where the center of Christianity was at that time. And so when they learned about this, what did they do? When the news reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Whom did they send? Barnabas. Barnabas became the first missionary. I don't know how they did it. I don't know. I know in Acts we read from the chapter 5, 6, 7, they always prayed and they cast some lots to find out the will of God. I don't know why they did it this time, but we find Barnabas, the son of an encouragement, is sent. Who else to send apart from the son of an encouragement? Who else to send apart from the man who sold all his possessions because he had realized he has a heavenly obligation more important than the earthly belongings? Who else to send than a man who was always seeking to encourage those who were defeated, those who were down? Barnabas was a man in this chapter 11. We see Barnabas became a man who is matching the spiritual needs and the spiritual resources. He had been given the grace of God. And in fact, the Bible tells us he was a man, verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He had the resources. He had been gifted by God to encourage others, to share with others his faith, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so he was sent because there was a spiritual needs among the new believers. Brethren, we all here, once we became believers, when we accepted Christ, we were given gifts. Gifts to serve the body of Christ. Gifts to serve the community of believers. Not only here, but also all over the world. And so each one of us has been given resources. In this church, like this wonderful church, I know you have many, many resources. You have good teachers. You have Bible teachers. You have women leaders. You have counselors. You have doctors. You have nurses. You have all resources. But you know that there are some communities where one person or one nurse is taking care of 5,000 people every day. Do you know that in many places there are women in many communities, in many villages in Africa, there are women who are begging, can somebody come and teach me how to study the Bible and how to read my Bible? There are pastors all over Africa, in many countries, even in Asia, who are crying, can somebody come and teach me how to do this, the basics? But most of us, we feel we have nothing to offer, and yet God has given us great opportunities. Abridged missionaries matches opportunities and challenges. He matches needs and resources. And so we see when Barnabas went and spent time there, the Bible tells us that when He was there. He started ministering to them. And then verse 25 tells us something else. Then Barnabas realized that the needs are so great, he cannot minister to the people. There are many needs beyond his own capacities. What does he do? Verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for who? For Saul. For Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. People were called Christians for the first time in Antioch because of Barnabas and because of Paul. You see, Barnabas realized that the needs are so great. The opportunities are enormous. There are many people who are hungry for the gospel. There are many people who need to be discipled. I cannot make it alone. I will go and organize a short-term mission. That's what we call it, isn't it? He remembered Paul. Paul had been a persecutor. Paul had been an enemy of the church. He had caused havoc. By this time, Barnabas says, I will go and bring Paul. He brought Paul in. I want to tell you, Paul helped Barnabas for the whole year. Many people came to Christ. And the Bible says, for the first time, that's when people who follow Christ were called Christians. You see, he realized there are opportunities, there are needs. We have many needs. I'm sure you read reports, you read bulletin. I know that the announcement that I made, this church is always calling people to go on short-term missions. But you know what? Many of us say, no, I don't think I can go. I don't think I have what it takes. I don't think I can A, B, C, D. You know what? We all have resources. We have gifts that we can give. I know most of us are paralyzed by fear. Last year, I was sent an email from my office in Sudan, in Khartoum. And the email said, Celestine, the black Muslims in Darfur have been killed by the Arab Muslims. People helping these black Muslims who are being killed by Arab Muslims are Christians from the southern Sudan, the black people, but also the European, the Americans helping with water, food, medicine. And this Muslim black Muslim have been told before that Christians are their enemies. Now Christians are the ones bandaging their wounds. They are the ones giving them food. They are the ones giving them medicine. Now they are asking, they are saying, now we have questions. Explain to us what is wrong. We were told the Christians are evil. They are our enemies. Now they are the ones helping us. We are being killed by Arab Muslims because we are black. Christians are supposed to be our enemies. They are helping us. Can anybody tell us about Christianity? But nobody is there to tell them. And so I was asked to come to help the few pastors. You know, Muslim in Darfur is 99.8% Muslim. Pastors who are there, the few who are there, even some of them have no Bibles. They don't know what to do. As you sit here, most of you are more knowledgeable in the Bible than they are. I was scared. I have resources. I am educated. I can train those pastors. I can speak to those leaders. But I was scared. This is a place, if you go there, you are caught. The punishment is 5 days in jail. And every day, you have 8 slashes on your bottom. So what do you do? What do you do? So I decided that I prayed and I say I will go. As I prayed, I realized that this is going to wait for me, 8 slashes on my bottom every day for 5 days, then they deport me to Rwanda. I found a bench in one of the rooms in the office. There's a walkout room. There's a hard bench. So for 3 weeks, I went that bench and hit my bottom on that bench for 3 weeks to prepare for what may happen in Darfur. And so in April, end of April, I found myself in Darfur. I was not speaking to pastors. I was not speaking to leaders of the church. I had 70 leaders. Only 5 were Christians. The rest were teachers in the mosques, and sheikhs or community leaders, Muslims. I was teaching forgiveness. I was teaching reconciliation. I was teaching nonviolence. And when I told them about Isa, who's Jesus, they call him Isa, because they accept him as a prophet, not as the Son of God, not as a Savior, but they know him as a prophet. So when I told them about the prophet Isa, who taught his disciples nonviolence, to turn the cheek when you are hit, to forgive, to give your enemies food when they are hungry, they were so surprised. They say, tell us more about what Isa taught. So as I was looking around, and I said, these are Muslims, these are the ones who will kill me. Am I going to tell them? I slowed down. I came out, no beatings, thank God. 2 weeks later, I got a letter from them that I should come back. This December, I was back there. They are hungry. And here I am trying to find the resources. These men and women are hungry, they want to know. But the people who support tell them there, they don't know what to tell them. The world is in need, brethren. But when you read chapter 11 toward the end, he's not only matching the resources, spiritual resources, but also he's matching physical resources. Toward the end of chapter 11, verse 27, something happens in Jerusalem. Remember, the church of Jerusalem sent him to Antioch. The Jews sent him to speak to the Gentile in Antioch. What happened then? It is about 1 year later, there is a famine in Jerusalem. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread all over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciple, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by who? By who? By Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas had come from Jerusalem to Antioch to meet their spiritual needs. The people who had more spiritual resources in Jerusalem, they are faced with famine. The church in Antioch collected money, relief funds, like you just send to Kenya, and they gave the money to Barnabas and Paul. They said, you go take this gift to the people in Jerusalem. Brethren, this is a bridge missionary. He's telling the people are realizing that there's a need of food among our brothers. They are starving to death. They collected the money, and Barnabas takes the money back to his people. What a wonderful experience. And so Barnabas became a bridge missionary who matched the spiritual and physical needs with the spiritual and physical resources and opportunities. The third characteristic is a bridge is an agent for reconciliation. Something happened between Barnabas and Paul. We read in chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Something happened because Paul and Barnabas had some problems between them. But we read when Paul, when Paul had become a believer, he wanted to meet the disciples. But the disciples feared him because they were not sure he had converted to Christianity. And so they excluded him. They say, Paul, we can't trust him. They did not want to embrace him. But what did Barnabas do? The Bible tells us Barnabas went to the disciples and told them about Paul, how Paul has been teaching, how Paul has been converting the people. He told them that Paul is one of us. And then we read, the disciples accepted him, and Paul and Saul and Barnabas spent time with the disciples. You see, Barnabas is a man of reconciliation. A bridge missionary is a man, is a woman of reconciliation. We live in a world of divisions, not only in Kenya now because of elections, but tribalism is dividing us. In Rwanda, tribalism caused the murdering and the killing of innocent people. I know in America there is no tribalism, but sometimes there are some residues of racism everywhere. A bridge missionary is a man and a woman who will bring people together to bring reconciliation, to make one group to be acceptable to the other, to advocate for the ones who are being forgotten. We all can become men and women of reconciliation in our villages, in our communities. And finally, a bridge missionary is a mentoring missionary. A mentoring missionary. You read Paul and Barnabas in chapter 15, they said, we can't go together. We can't walk together because at their journey, Paul wants to go with Silas and Barnabas wants to go with Mark. They want to go together, but Paul, because he'd been abandoned by Mark later earlier on, Paul said, I can't go with Mark because earlier alone, he disappointed me. Paul, being who Paul is, a man who wants to do things, a man who does not tolerate the weak people, a man who does not have time to waste, maybe to spend time before he grew up to start mentoring Timothy. In his early time, Paul did not appreciate the weak people. At this point, he says, I can't go with Mark because Mark abandoned me on the first journey. What did Barnabas do? We read in chapter 15, verse 36 to 34, that Barnabas begged Paul to go to take Mark, but there was a big disappointment and disagreement. And then they both departed the company because of that. And so Barnabas realized that as a man of mentoring, Barnabas did not focus on what people are now. He focused on what they could become. He did not see the limits of what people are now. He looked at a man like Mark. He said, Mark has failed, yes, but this man, given a chance, mentored, he may become something else. A bridge missionary would mentor. Many of you are well-trained, well-educated. We are Bible teachers. Many of you have grown up in this church. Some of you are getting older like myself. But there are young people in this church, young leaders who need mentoring, who need to be heard in their hands, not only in the church, but in our professions. We need to mentor somebody. Do you know what happened to Mark? Let alone we read Paul was in need and he called the people to send Mark. But do you know that Mark, let alone wrote the gospel of Mark, a man who had failed, a man who was seen by Paul as a failure, when given a chance by Barnabas, when he mentored him, when he nurtured him, the man who was a failure became the writer of the gospel of Mark. We can give chance to younger people. We can mentor each other. We can send the young people in missions. Send them to me. I will mentor them in Darfur. No, I'm kidding. Some of you may hate me if I take your children to Darfur. But maybe that's what it will take for us to be in a place where we can see God do miracles. So as I finish this morning, God is calling each one of us to be bridge missionaries. God is calling you. God is calling us as we sit here to look beyond our needs. God is telling us that we can match the challenges and the needs with the resources and the opportunities. Many of you here have abundance resources and opportunities. And the abundance of needs, both in this church and beyond this church. And in fact, I brought a card with a lot of needs. You will get maybe some of these cards when you get out. An opportunity for you to think, how can I match the resources I have with the needs? Some of you need to come and go to Africa. As we develop relationships with this church, as we focus on North Tanzania, as Jean and I and our office have been working together, missions committee here and our ministry have been working in Tanzania to develop a strategy for the next 3-5 years to reach out to North Tanzania, I'm sure many of you are going to say, I have resources, I can put on this partnership, I can go and teach people, I can do medicine, I can teach women, I can teach men, I can teach young people, I can do help the people who are in need. God expects each one of us to be bridge missionaries. But also let us become men and women of reconciliation. Maybe there are people in our communities who are having trouble between themselves. They need us to reconcile them. And finally, we need to say, who am I going to mentor? Maybe you have been here, you have an experience in this church. You are growing. Maybe you need to find someone you can mentor in your profession, a younger person, a younger professional. You can hold the hand and say, I'm going to invest in this young man. He is nothing now, but he could become something. I am here because somebody trusted me. mentored me when I was still naked, when I had a pair of shorts with windows at the bottom. He looked at me and said, maybe this ugly skinny boy, one day he can become something. He trusted me. He mentored me. And I'm mentoring others. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We have an opportunity to become bridge missionaries because of the gifts, the talents you have given us, because of the education we have, because of the material possessions we have. Father, we can become a bridge missionary like Barnabas. We can meet the needs of other people. We can match the challenges and the opportunities. Father, we can be agents of reconciliation. I pray that my brother and my sisters, as we continue this journey together, each one of us today will go out determined somehow to become a bridge missionary, so that men and women who are hungry spiritually will be fed. Even those who are hungry materially will be taken care of. We pray that, Father, we will follow this model of Barnabas. We will sell all what we have. We will give out what we have. We will be willing to go in new communities, but also we will be willing to take the gift back to our communities. Be with us as we continue to celebrate our giftedness. Be with us as we seek to honor you with our gifts. Be with us as we become bridges through which you can reach out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.